Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and with P. Frank Carr, it's quarter number three. And you know what that means. It's time for Ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football, recruiting questions, and also life in general questions. If you want to submit a question,
I have a life thing today. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off in the middle of your flow, but I have some life advice today. We'll get to it after you're done with your intro.
All right, well, if you want to ask T. Frank a question, download our app, Keystone Sports. There's an Ask T. Frank button. And before we get started with your questions, T. Frank with some life advice. Go ahead, T. Frank.
Yoga. That's the new thing I've discovered, because it has helped with a lot of different things. And I know that this is obviously a male-centric audience, and you might be thinking, yoga? Oh, gosh, T. Frank. And you might have some derogatory thing to call. I sleep better. I have not slept well, you know, as an adult, with everything from adult back pain at the age of 20-something or other, you know, all the way to other things. I sleep so much better after I do yoga. And so that's my new thing. So give it a try.
Well, actually, perhaps some good advice for me, T. Frank. I don't sleep well, and I've been diagnosed with degenerative disc disease in my back. So I would assume yoga would be some help to me.
Probably. I would imagine so.
Maybe I'll be looking into it. Or maybe I'll just keep sitting in my Barca lounger with a bag of Cheetos.
If you do, please record yourself doing yoga for the benefit of humanity, because I do want to see that.
No, you don't, T. Frank. Trust me, you do not. All right, let's get to our listener questions. Let's start with Tony in Philadelphia. Tony says, perhaps a stupid question. In an RPO offense, at the time the ball is snapped, does the offensive line know for certain if the play will be a run or a pass? If not, how do they adjust accordingly?
It's a great question, actually.
Very good question from Tony.
That's a great question, and they know exactly what the play is, because it's a run play every single time for them. On an RPO, the offensive line is run blocking. That's one of the tenets of it, is that every RPO is a called run unless the quarterback chooses differently. So that is the fundamentals of that particular position, and you see that in the NFL sometimes, where they actually pay attention to the two-yard rule for offensive linemen being downfield. You'll see flags for guys being too far downfield in the NFL when they run an RPO. It's something that I know that defensive coordinators have complained for years about, that they've just given up, that if you're run blocking and you're 3 yards downfield, if you are on an inside zone, have reached the linebackers, that is technically illegal, but no one really calls it. So that's why you'll see that. And sometimes if you get straight beat on a run play, or if the defense, if they run blitz off the edge or anything like that, you can get unblocked pressure on the quarterback. That's how that happens, because they're not pass blocking. If they're pass blocking, that's a play action. That's the difference.
And just the explanation on illegal man downfield could only be on a pass play.
Yes.
So just the nature of this, where you're run blocking and the normal inclination of the offensive lineman is to get downfield blocking.
Yes, and that's why the quarterback has to be careful. That's why the quarterback has to be careful. That's why it's such a rhythm play. If you don't do it in rhythm, and you try to extend the play or anything like that, the quarterback has to run. If the offensive line, you're threatening to get a penalty if you do that. It's in structure or it's nothing. That's one of the shortcomings of an RPO, is that if the one option is closed, then you're stuck with the football in the backfield with an offensive line that has no idea what's going on.
And we have seen that happen at times. All right, let's go to Aaron in Houston. T. Frank, based on Clifford's performance from this year, would you anticipate there'll be a legitimate quarterback competition this offseason? Can you also give me your way too early prediction on who will be the starting quarterback for both our first game against Purdue and our last game against Rutgers?
Yeah.
Heavy sigh from T. Frank.
Yeah, in case that didn't come through, let me do it again. Okay. What were the parts of this question? Based on Clifford coming back, it's all about Christian Veiu to me. It's as much as Drew Aller, I think, has progressed mentally, and what I saw from him, even in his shaky performance in the All-Star game, I broke down that film for my other job, and I was more encouraged seeing what he was trying to do in the game versus it wasn't an accuracy issue. So even in those plays, he shows mental maturity. He's on campus right now. Yes, that door is open, but to me, I'm putting, if I'm a gambling man, I'm as conservative as some of these coaches I criticize, I'm putting my money on a more sure bet, and that would be Christian Veiu, who has officially been in the program a year now. We'll have 18 months on time on task when it gets to the season. That's the guy that has a legitimate chance of competing with Sean Clifford. I don't know, because I don't know enough about Christian Veiu. What I've seen from him, I like, but I've seen less than 100 snaps, so I cannot tell you that he can do all of those things. What he does is he seems to have great poise, which, even if it's not great poise, it's better than what I saw from Clifford in comparable situations. So it looks phenomenal. But again, I don't know what it is in the long run because we don't have enough information. He hasn't seen enough coverages and schemes to really know how he processes things after the snap. And for Penn State, I think it's kind of the same thing of, yeah, we've seen it in practice. We know certain things more than you guys and than you, T-Frank. But we haven't seen him do it either on the field. And when it comes down to that, you're going to trust what you know. Until Sean Clifford loses you games he shouldn't. And you can always make excuses for the amount of pressure he's under. There was no running game. There were some problems with consistency in his offensive weapons. All of those things can come back, and you can make those claims about the quarterback, the injury, everything. So until Christian Veiu straight up beats him in a competition, I don't know. I would say by the end of next season, if Penn State's season tanks, you're going to see somebody else under center at the end of the season.
And something else about next season, the strength of schedule is skewed towards the start of the year. In the first six games, Penn State plays Purdue in their first game on the road.
Yep.
They've also got Auburn on the road, and then they have Michigan and Ohio State, with Ohio State at home, Michigan on the road, I believe it is. So that is four, I'll call them, losable games in the first six.
Yeah.
You come out of that 2-4 or 3-3, I think the fans are going to be screaming for the backup quarterback.
By the way, they started on the road at Wisconsin this year, so it's not like this is they might have a better plan of attack. I know they went 5-0 to start the season, but they've been through it. And having Clifford, as much as I'm on the same boat as again with this guy, and I always feel bad doing this, and putting a guy down like this, but we just all know what we're looking at, and that is also a positive because he did in that situation win five straight games, where they were playing Auburn, Wisconsin, and up until the point they played him, Indiana was a decent team coming into the season that you expected to be a tough out at home. And, then we saw what Indiana was.
And because they are playing Purdue on the road, a conference game, they're not playing Podunk U in that first game. To think that a young quarterback will be thrown to the Wolves early, I just think is unrealistic. You put in the experienced guy, that's what I see happening. And as you said, last year they did beat Wisconsin and Auburn and Indiana. They did win the games early. Hey, if Sean Clifford does that, if he's, 5-1 or even 4-2 through that first half of the season, he probably has played well. You start to dip into that 3-3 record, though, it's probably time to start preparing for the following season. Yep. And decide which quarterback you're going to ride. All right, T-Frank, let's go to Lee in Mount Lebanon, who says, Happy New Year, T-Frank and Jim. We all know Penn State's seeking offensive linemen in the transfer portal who can contribute immediately. But based on your film study knowledge, would you be able to predict the best starting offensive line using the players currently known to be on the Penn State roster? In fairness, I should ask the question again after the spring game and right before the start of the 22 season. Thanks. Right. I think Lee's been listening to you, T-Frank, so he can anticipate what you're going to say.
It's funny. I actually am doing a series of articles to first off explain the different positional prototypes so we know what teams are looking for at certain positions along the offensive line. And then I'm going to slot those guys I think fit those molds best along the Penn State offensive line so that we can build with something in mind and not just throw names out there. So that's coming from me this week. The first one is already up, and we took a look at tackles. So I'll just give you the tackles that I see so far on Penn State's roster. Olufashinu looks like the real deal to me as far as he can play that left side. I still have some questions about his overall athleticism. I don't think we found that out in the bowl game, but more than kept his head above water and was good in that game. Probably just from a consistency and executing his job standpoint, maybe he didn't have the pure athleticism of Rashid Walker, but he got the job done regularly. Then it comes down to the other guys on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Caden Wallace, I've said for a long time, I think, is technically able to play tackle from a physical standpoint, from his length and measurables, and even some of his athletic testing numbers, but he would be a better fit as a guard. I think his long-term positional, in the NFL, he's going to be a guard. He's not going to be a tackle. So that leaves the guys that can play tackle, and that would be Landon Tangwall, who I think can be an elite interior offensive lineman and would be a difference maker for you there, but would be a good tackle, maybe slightly better than Caden Wallace. But what do you want? Do you want an elite guard, or do you want a good tackle? And you can make a case either way, but for the player, I want to see him play on the interior. And then it comes down to a guy like Jimmy Crist, who's 6'7", has all the length, had the frame, but had to grow into it and had some athleticism and flexibility issues that he needed to work out before he can play. From what I saw of him this year, I didn't think he was quite ready, but we've got 18 months, or whatever it is, like 9 months before he has to be there. This offseason's very important for him to make that next step and to push for playing time and reshuffle things. So as it stands right now, I would say Fashanu at left tackle, and until somebody else comes up that can play, probably Wallace still at that right tackle position. But I'll go through the rest of the offensive line throughout the offseason, and I don't want to spoil too much of what you can go and get elsewhere, and we'll talk about it here, you know, when it comes out, you know, and we'll get the full picture throughout the offseason, but that's just the tackles for now.
Well, that's a good start. If you get the tackles, it seems like you have Tangwall, who you mentioned, might be better inside. You have a Caden Wallace who might be better inside, who's been playing tackle. But it seems like you have to start with the bookend tackles, which, ironically, Penn State thought they had them last season with Walker and Wallace. Not sure that was the case. All right, T. Frank, we need a winner.
I like the RPO offense question. That was a good question.
And that is Tony from Philadelphia, who ironically said perhaps a stupid question when actually a very good question. I'm sure it's something other folks were thinking about also, and it helps us, T. Frank, understand how the RPO works. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, we're talking recruiting. Stick around for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.